Third week of our message series called Uncommon Courage. Now remember, courage is the mental or moral strength to persevere or to withstand danger or fear or difficulties in life. And the challenge that I have for us today is to have the uncommon courage to face our faults. Earlier this summer, like in the beginning of summer, I was driving my car down 61 and the check engine light came on. And I thought to myself, oh, here we go. I wonder how much this is going to cost me, right? Isn't that what happens when the check engine light comes on? You wonder what it is, what's broken, is my car going to die? You know, what's going to happen? Well, a few minutes later, it went off. And so I thought to myself, oh, great, sweet. I don't even have to worry about it. It just disappeared. The problem must have just took care of itself. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to take it to a mechanic to find out what's wrong. Hey, if the check engine light is off, it's okay with me. I can just keep going. And so I did. About a month later, I was in Wisconsin fishing with my son, Mike, taking a little bit of a break, a couple days. We were camping and fishing. And on Sunday morning, I decided to get up early and go to Starbucks for some coffee. Okay, you know, I mean, there's one thing about roughing it camping, but yeah, sometimes you just gotta take care of business and get your Starbucks in the morning, right? So I'm on the way to Starbucks, I get my coffee, I'm on the way back, and you guessed it. The check engine light came on. And I'm thinking, oh great, yeah, 250 miles away from home. And now the check engine light comes on. Fortunately, my son Mike is a mechanic, and he knows about these kind of things. And so I thought, I'll get back to the campground, I'll have him look at it. He'll tell me it's no big deal, and, you know, it'll go off again. But that's not what he said. You see, while I was complaining to him about how unreliable my car was, my son Mike looked at me and said, you don't even take care of your car. It's not reliable because you don't do anything to make it reliable. So don't blame your car. And he looked at it and he said, well, it looks like you got a belt that's getting bad and this and that. And the bottom line is I had to leave my fishing trip early so that I could make it home. And just in case if I did break down, it wasn't in the middle of the night. See, I have different expectations for my car than Mike does. I have this kind of love-hate thing going on with my car. I love when I can use my car for what I want it to do for me, but I hate it when it breaks down. You know, I have big expectations. Now, I expect my car to last forever without any complications. I expect my car to never break down despite I neglect the routine maintenance and ignore the manual that tells me what I'm supposed to do. I expect my car to be nice to me without making any sacrifices at all. Obviously, failing to follow the maintenance requirements for my car or for your car, or even ignoring the check engine light, will eventually lead to problems. Now, you're probably sitting there thinking, you know, Pastor Doug, it's pretty obvious. Like, you have a problem. You got to take care of your car, right? But when I reflect on it, I kind of do the same thing in my spiritual life, and in my relationships. I have certain expectations. And sometimes I really don't want to make the sacrifices necessary to keep those relationships healthy, whether it's my relationship with God or relationship with others. I'm too busy to maintain my relationships properly. I'm afraid that it might cost me something. So I simply hope that they will last and not break down. The bottom line is, if I don't invest in it, I get what I pay for. Often, when something does happen, there's two reactions that I have. One is to try to figure out who or what to blame, and the other is to run away from the problem and hope it resolves itself. Same kind of thing I did with my car, right? I don't like it when the check engine light comes on. You know, It's not my fault. It's the manufacturer's fault. It's the people who made that car. They just didn't make it well enough. Or, you know what? It'll just go. This check engine light, it'll just go off by itself. It'll take care of itself. I'll bring it in for a simple oil change, and that'll solve everything. And we look at our relationships the same way. See, we're sinful. And we have this deal where it's a lot easier to look elsewhere at our problems than to look at ourselves to solve the problem. It's a lot easier to look other places than to face our faults. See, God created us to live in community. And when Adam and Eve were living in perfect community with God, they made a choice that separated them from that community. And when they sinned for the first time, they made the same mistake. They started blaming each other. And they tried to hide from God. They tried to run away from the issue and hide. And when God did confront them, they tried to blame each other. The bottom line is, God gave them instructions, and they didn't follow them. And we have a tendency to do the same thing. We're sinful and broken people. If we don't invest in routine spiritual maintenance, then we can't stay healthy spiritually or grow in our faith. I thought about that this week, and I asked myself, why is it so hard for me to face my faults? Why is it so hard for us to honestly look at our faults? And I thought, you know what? I think, at least for me, I see in myself that it can reflect a negative impression of who I am. It could impact my reputation with other people. And so it scares me, and I don't want to deal with it. I don't want to be honest and upfront with it. Or we struggle to face our faults because it's painful. Maybe there's something in our past that has caused pain, and we don't want to face that painful feeling, so we try to run from it. We try to bury it, or we try to overcome it with other bad behavior habits. Sometimes we struggle to face our faults because we just don't want to believe that they exist. We simply don't want to invest the time that it's going to take to invest in changing our lives. So what do you do to avoid facing your faults? And why is it important for us to face our faults? Well, if we don't really face our faults, then we'll never be able to grow in our faith and our character. We will never be able to become better people. Even if you're not a Christian here today, becoming a better person is something that you probably are passionate about, whether it's at work or in your neighborhood, in your community. But as Christians, we should want to grow in our faith and our character to become more like Christ. We need to look at our faults too, because if we want to live in healthy relationships and become better friends, it helps. And it's important to face our faults because when we do, we can live in joy and peace that God promises us. See, here's the thing. You were created to be like Christ. From the very beginning, God's plan was to make you like His Son, Jesus Christ. You were created in the image and the likeness of God. That image has been damaged and destroyed because of sin. Because of that, God sent His Son, Jesus, into this world to die on the cross to repair our relationship with Him, and so we can repair our relationship with each other. Ephesians 4, verse 24, in God's Word translation, says it this way. You were also taught to become a new person, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Let me be absolutely clear here this morning. The Bible does not say that we were created to become God or to be like a God. That was the problem that Satan confronted Adam and Eve with in the garden, right? He said, did God really say that? He didn't say that. He's just worried that if you eat from that tree, you will become like God. Didn't God already say that they were made in His image? Didn't they already have that? And they made that mistake. They bought it hook, line, and sinker. And ever since then, we also have this desire to be our own God, to be in control of our own destiny. God doesn't want you to become a god. He wants you to become holy. He wants you to be like Him, taking on His values, His attitude, His character. The Bible says it this way in the Message paraphrase. Take on an entirely new way of life, a God-fashioned life, a life renewed from the inside and working itself into your conduct as God accurately reproduces His character in you. Last week we talked about the courage to live a life worthy of the calling that God has for us. And we talked about how our calling was to be sanctified or to live a holy life. And that our calling was to serve and to share. And part of our living out our calling to be holy is by beginning by looking at our faults. If we want to grow in our faith and be changed, we must begin by fixing the things that are broken deep inside of our heart and soul. It sounds so simple, doesn't it? It sounds so simple, and yet we don't really do what it takes to make it happen. So if we're serious about fixing the brokenness in us, we must come up with a plan. Let me share a few steps of some things that we can do to put in place. Here's the first one. Acknowledge your faults. Acknowledge your faults. That sounds so simple, doesn't it? Now, I'm not talking about just simple, everyday, you know, surface-level kind of stuff. That's kind of easy. At least it is for me. I can acknowledge faults that really don't do any kind of damage or, you know, everybody kind of does this thing. It's really not that bad. It's easy to share that kind of thing. I'm not talking about that. We all need to acknowledge our faults. Galatians 6, verse 5 says, each of us must bear some faults and burdens of his own, for nobody is perfect. None of us is perfect. This is more about acknowledging specific faults that we have. Faults that are a little bit more prevalent than others. Faults that cause damage. Faults that cause damage in our lives and in the lives of other people. Acknowledging our faults is more about recognizing that there's certain issues that I have and having the desire to know what they are so that I can change them, so I can fix them. Having the courage to acknowledge our faults shows a desire to grow in our faith, to grow in our character, to grow in our relationships with other people. It means being serious about transforming your life and character to become more like Christ. Here's the second way. Allow the Holy Spirit to examine you. Allow the Holy Spirit to examine you. Now, for the most part, all of us are like, yeah, okay, I know. The Bible says that. But the problem is we don't do what it says. We don't place ourselves in a position or take the time to allow the Holy Spirit to really examine our lives so that we can identify our faults and decide to change them. See, if we're really serious about this, we need to allow the light of the Holy Spirit to shine in the deepest, darkest places of our heart. David said that in Psalm 139. He says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me, and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. See, in order for the Holy Spirit to examine your heart, you need to invest regular time and effort into placing yourself in a position to work with Him and listen to Him and allow Him to speak to you. So, here's the challenge. This is how you do it. This is very practical. A practical way for you to apply this in your life. Put it on your calendar. On such and such a day, from 10 o'clock until noon, I am going to such and such a place. I'm going to leave my phone in the car. And I am going to just spend time listening to God. Asking Him the question, God, examine me. Where is it in my life that you see I'm headed in the wrong direction? What are the things that I'm doing that need to change? What are my faults? It might take some time. It might take some effort. But I guarantee that if you invest in that, God will speak to you and show you. Here's one of the things that I do on a regular basis. Now, the Bible says in Galatians 5:22 that we are called to have the character of Christ, and it shares the fruit of the Spirit, right? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. 9 of them. Now, what I will do to examine my life on a regular basis is I'll sit down with those and say, okay, this is what God is looking for. If there is fruit in my life, if there is godly character in my life, this is what it will look like. The fruit of the Spirit. So I'll sit down and I'll go, love. Okay, God, am I a loving person? Where is it in my life that I'm not a loving person, and how do I change that? And I'll spend some time on that. Now, very rarely do I ever make it through all 9 because it just takes too much time. So I'll have to pick up where I left off maybe the next day. But it's a great way for us to allow the Lord, the Holy Spirit, to examine our life. God, where, you know some of the things that you really need to work on. Like for me, patience. Obvious. I could spend a whole day or week probably asking God to show me where my faults are when it comes to being a patient person. Okay? This is a practical way for you to really allow the Lord and the Holy Spirit to show you the things that you need to work on. Write them down. Take a pad of paper or a journal and write them in your journal. Find verses that have to do with that specific topic and memorize them and apply them in your life. Now, this is a great opportunity because we have a class coming up that can help you with this very thing. Pam is teaching a class on spiritual disciplines, and I don't know if she's going to be talking specifically about this, but spiritual disciplines are those very things that we can implement in our life to examine our lives, to find our faults, and with the specific purpose of trying to change. So if you want information on that, we have a table set up in the back. Mark Bowers will be back there later on today to give you a little bit more information specifically about that class and some others that we have going on. Do you have the guts to do it? You have to sign up for it. You have to invest in it if you really want to change. You see, it's the Holy Spirit's job to produce Christ-like character in us. The Bible says it this way in 2 Corinthians 3:18. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him and reflect His glory and character even more. So it's the Holy Spirit's job to work in us to transform us. But for the most part, we kind of hope that happens automatically. But it doesn't happen automatically. We have to cooperate with the Holy Spirit. We have to work with the Holy Spirit in order for Him to work in us. In order for the Holy Spirit to release His power in our lives, we need to invite Him in by taking a step of faith. At least 8 times the Bible says to make an effort to grow in your faith and become like Jesus. See, here's part of my problem is we live in an instant gratification culture, don't we? See, I want to become more like Christ. I have a passion to become more like Jesus. But I expect it to happen in a week. See, that's not the way it is. The Bible says this is a lifelong process. We're not going to reach perfection until we get to heaven. But God calls us to work at it. And so we need to make a commitment to allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our lives. Here's the third one. Ask others to reveal what you don't see. Ask other people to reveal what you don't see. You want to face your faults? Talk to the people who know you the best. Talk to people who see you the most. That takes courage. Sit down with your spouse, your loved one, a good friend, a coworker, and say to them, hey, I really respect you and your opinion about me, and I'm serious about growing in my faith and my character, and I want to know what it is that you see in my life that I need to work on. See, a lot of times we don't see the things that we need to fix. God created us to live in community with each other. We really need each other if we want to grow in our faith, in our character, and live in healthy relationships. In James 5, verse 16, in the Living Bible, it says it this way, admit your faults to one another and pray for each other so that you may be healed. You want to be healed? You want to transform your life? You want your life to change? And part of that process is meeting with someone that you love and trust, someone who is spiritually mature, and admitting your faults to each other and praying for each other. That happens best in a small group community. People that you meet with on a regular basis to study God's Word, to pray together, to share life together. It's all about cultivating community in our lives. Now, here's how we can cultivate community in our lives. Here's what it takes to cultivate community in our lives. This is why it takes courage to cultivate community in our lives. Because cultivating community takes humility. It's not easy to admit your faults to someone else, is it? It's very hard to do. And that's why you need humility to do it. We need to humble ourselves and admit our weaknesses to each other. In Colossians 3, it says this way, "Clothe yourselves with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, and humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive." And notice it says there, make allowance for each other's faults. That means you have some too. I don't know about you, but it's always easier to point out the faults that somebody else has. I think we could do incredibly great things in our relationships if we stopped and started to look at ourselves first and ask ourselves the question, what is my part in this whole problem, this conflict, in this issue? Where is it that I'm at fault? What did I do wrong? If we start there, then we're headed in the right direction. It takes humility because we need to be vulnerable. We need to share our faults, not just point out the faults of others. Cultivating community takes courage as well because it takes honesty. In Ephesians 4:15, it says to lovingly speak the truth. And Solomon said in Proverbs 4:26, an honest answer is a sign of true friendship. See, we can't grow and change without being honest about ourselves and with other people. So we often fail to be honest with each other because we're afraid of confrontation. We're afraid of the tension. We're afraid of discomfort. And that simply enables a false sense of security in our relationships and in our character. It doesn't help. See, if we really love and care for each other, we need to lovingly speak the truth to each other rather than ignore issues and hope they go away. Kind of the same thing I did with that engine light that came on in my car. So in closing this morning, let me ask you this. How serious are you about changing your life? How serious are you about investing in your character? How serious are you about growing in your faith? How serious are you about developing good, healthy relationships with other people? It starts with uncommon courage to face your faults and begin working on them. See, when you do that, an amazing thing happens. When you begin to face your faults with a desire to change, that engine light on the dashboard of your life doesn't come on as much. And when it does, it's not the end of the world. Because you've built a relationship with God and you can trust in Jesus Christ and you know that whatever it is, you have the power, the strength to get through it. Your faith, your character, and your relationships will begin to grow and your life will be filled with joy and peace that can only come from knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. So I want to challenge you today to have the uncommon courage to find, to face your faults, and to go after Jesus in a way that helps transform your life. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for loving us enough to tell us the truth that we are broken and sinful. But Lord, thank you for loving us enough to not leave us that way, but to come here and to give your life as a sacrifice so that we could be restored and renewed and made whole again. Lord, help us to trust in you. Help us to trust in your grace and your mercy and your power and your presence in our life to renew and transform and to change us to be more like you. And now, Lord, as we move into celebrating Holy Communion together, help us to do it with the right heart and the right mind so that we can honor you and recommit to living our lives for you. In Jesus' name, amen.